All right, so we are on the air. Here we go. All right, so we'll start with a few shaylos that were sent in. One shaylah was sent in by Yaakov, who's not here right now, but I'll tell him later. I'll hit the recording. Are you allowed to brush your teeth on Shabbos? So brushing teeth on Shabbos has three issues. Issue number one is you may cause yourself to bleed. If you definitely will cause yourself to bleed, it's definitely a problem. If you do not know if it will cause you to bleed, so then it's not a problem. The second issue is schita amongst the bristles. Amongst the bristles of the brush, are you squeezing out the water? So some bristles today are not, they're not absorbent. Most of them are not absorbent, so will not be an issue of schita. The third issue is called mimarea, which is smearing. You're not allowed to smear a cream on your skin, smearing a cream on your teeth, the toothpaste. And that may be the most severe issue of them all. And therefore, a lot of people will let you brush your teeth with a liquid toothpaste or like with a mouthwash of some sort. But to brush with toothpaste is definitely controversial. Some allow it, some do not. I do not brush my teeth with a toothpaste. And that is shayla number one. Hello, Nachum. Shayla number two is, let's say you want to daven, but your talis or tefillin are not available. You do not have them. They're not with you. Or the case that someone asked, he had a baby on Shabbos, and he did not have his talis and tefillin with him. But he wanted to daven, or whatever, it was Sunday already. So the answer is, you do not need to wait, and you should not wait. Davening, tefillin, and tzitzis are three separate mitzvahs. We do them all together, but they're not connected. And therefore, there's absolutely no reason to push off davening the right time to wait for your talis and tefillin. So daven in the right time, and then the first opportunity that you have to put your talis and tefillin on, put your talis and tefillin on. It could be talis. What, Yael?
Hospitals in Eretz Yisrael have a tefillin gemach.
You're right. This was in Chicago, but you're right. Now, right?
Even Rabbi, even if it's in a place you say, like, I want to say Mara Sinai, like people are looking at you, like, what are you doing? That's not a concern, right?
You got it. I mean, you don't want people to call the police on you. Like, you don't want to have, like, having seizures and spasming back and forth, and people are going to get nervous. You definitely could let someone know nearby, like, I'm dominating. But the issue here, just as far as your talis and tefillin, that you don't need to wait. You should not wait for that. Okay? The last item I discussed sent in was, a follow-up from last week, which is, we learned last week that you're not allowed to make brachas or learn Torah or think Torah in the bathroom or in the bathhouse. So a lady asked the following shayla. Hello, Yaakov Hashem. I asked, when you go to the mikvah, a lady goes to the mikvah, they make a bracha before when they're doing the tefillah in the mikvah. So the mikvah is a place, it's a merchan. The mikvah is a place where you're not allowed to think and learning, you're not allowed to speak and learning, you're not allowed to make brachas. So how do women make brachas in the mikvah? Hello, Zach Rosen. The first three shaylos Zach Rosen was brushing teeth on Shabbos. The second one was davening without talis and tefillin. The third shayla we're discussing right now is making a bracha in the mikvah that women do make. So the shayla is discussed amongst the paiskim and is a heavy-duty shayla. The maisa l'maisa, women make the bracha. And we're not changing the minhag. They for sure make the bracha. The question is, why are they allowed to? A lot of different answers given, but not the answers aren't great. Bottom line is, they're not great. But the bottom line is, a minhag is a minhag, and we're not going to change it. So therefore, that's like the exception to the rule. Women making bracha in the mikvah is the exception. That's the only thing that you can say in the mikvah, that's Torah, making that bracha. But to realize, it's definitely a great question. There are answers, but I'm not going to go into them because they're not great. But that is what we do. Okay. What? Right. So you make the bracha, and then the minhag of women is also to add on their own tefillahs, which is also okay. We put them all together. It's one big, why is it okay? Good question. But that's a minhag for Klal Yisrael, for the women for 100 years, and we don't change that minhag. Men do not make a bracha. Ever. Okay, here we go. No, that was last week's year. No. All right, here we go. This week's topic is Purim. So we're gonna split this year into two parts, this week and next week. Next week, I'll be discussing the actual Kriyas HaMegillah and the Hashkafa behind Purim, what we should be thinking, what we should be davening, what we should not be doing, and yes, be doing. That'll be next week. This week, I want to do a lot of the other shaylos, a lot of other halakhas related to Purim. Okay, we'll start with Parshas Zachar. Okay, this week, this Shabbos, is Parshas Zachar. It is a mitzvah d'oraisa to hear the Kriyas HaTorah about the mitzvah of destroying, erasing the memory of Amalek. Mitzvah d'oraisa for men, M-E-N. It is not a chiyuv for women to go. Now, it happens to be, it became a very accepted chumrah and minhag for women to go. And if it's easy, fine. But there's no obligation and no reason to stress out the family or the wives or any women to have to go to hear Zachar and Shabbos. If it works out, great. If it doesn't work out, that's also great because there is no real chiyuv for women to go hear Parshas Zachar. Parshas Zachar, we do midraisa once a year. This week, that's it. That's something else. Now, Now, that is Parshas Zachar. Now, Tainus Esther. Okay, after Parshas Zachar, so next week is Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther is on Thursday, Yud Gimel Adar. Now, everyone believes, I shouldn't say everyone, a lot of people believe that Esther fasted on Tainus Esther, and that's a mistake, because Esther did not fast on Tainus Esther. Esther had her fast, those were over Pesach time. The actual fast of Esther in the palace was over Pesach time. Tainus Esther on Yud Gimel Adar was the day we went to war. And the minhag is on the day you go to war that you fast. So that because of the fast that we did on the war, that's why we have the fast. Now it should not be called Tainus Esther because it's nothing to do with Esther. Just, Mr. Brewer explains, we call it Tainus Esther because we want to show how Hashem listens even to the yechidim, even to the individuals. When an individual is in pain and suffering, Hashem listens to them. So we call it Tainus Esther, but the truth is it was a Tainus that all Klai Yisrael fasted on Yud Gimel Adar because we were at war. Anyway, so that's just what Tainus Esther is. That's what Tainus Esther is. Now, she had nothing to do with this. It was the Klai Yisrael went and did it. She established one on Pesach. So that's Tainus Esther. Now, you are allowed to work on Tainus Esther. You are allowed to shower. You're allowed to have a haircut. The only thing you're not allowed to do on Tainus Esther is eat. But everything else you are allowed to do. If you are pregnant or nursing, you do not need to fast. If you're super duper sick, you do not need to fast. If you want to take a Tylenol or an Advil, try to take it without water. If you cannot take it without water, take it with a very little bit of water. And now you're not allowed to break your fast until you hear the Megillah, which means you may have to fast an hour or two after the fast is over, which may be difficult. If you're really feeling weak, you could have a cup of coffee and a mezainis, but a small amount. No big meal, nothing big. Now, women who...
With the coffee... In the mezainis is before the Megillah reading, or it doesn't matter anytime during the day?
I started to say it again. You missed it. Say again. All right, Kenny.
I think he asked.
Is that after sundown?
Even after sundown, we only.
No, you can't hear me. Okay, just keep going.
We only hear the Megillah after sundown. And you are not allowed to really eat until after you have the Megillah. And therefore, especially for women who stay home with the kids and go later, it'll be hard. So again, if you're strong, don't fast, don't eat anything until after the Megillah. If you're weaker and after Seisach Chochavim, which is 20 minutes, 40 minutes after sundown, then you are allowed to eat a small amount. You can have a coffee, you can have a Danish, a small amount of Zainus, but no big meal. If you're super duper weak and you feel like you need to have a real big meal, then you need to appoint a shomer to remind you to hear the Megillah. But as a rule, we try not to eat until after the Megillah.
I can't focus on the Megillah.
No, you should focus. Okay, so that is Tainus Esther. Now, the other halacha of the Kriyas Megillah, we're gonna hold off until next week. Just one thing I wanna put out there, which may be nogea this year, is if you are unable to go to shul because of corona or any other issue, you can hear the Megillah on Zoom or on the phone. And again, if you can go to shul, don't be lazy. But if you can't, What you would want to have is someone in the shul be part of that minyan. The Kriyas at Megillah in the minyan shul and put a phone there, put a Zoom there so that you can hear at home. But we'll talk details about the Megillah next week, but that is a possibility of someone who cannot go to shul. Now, what I want to discuss is the next topic is the Machzis HaShekel. Machzis HaShekel is half a shekel. It's actually related to this week's parsha. The minhag in Klal Yisrael is to give 3 half shekels in Israel or 3 half dollars in America on Tainus Esther to give to tzedakah. And we say Zecher L'Machzis HaShekel. It's because Klal Yisrael from Rosh Chodesh Adar and on would collect money to donate to the Beis HaMikdash. And it would be, we do 3 different donations. And therefore our minhag is to give 3 half shekels or 3 half dollars. And the minhag is to do it around mincha time on Tainus Esther. If you forgot, you could do it any other time. And we give that equivalent to tzedakah. So most shuls will have 3 of them tied up. You'll put in a shekel and a half, pick up those 3 coins, say zecher l'machzis HaShekel and put it down. And the minhag is to do it for you, for your wife, for your mother, your mother-in-law, and anyone who's husband or whatever, anyone who's not married. So any lady who would need you, you can do it for them if they ask you to. Do it for your children. That's the minhag, to do it on Tainus Esther, Zecher L'machzis HaShekel. If you know someone who needs it to be done for them, volunteer your services. It's a minhag, it's a cheap one, you might as well do it. So that is
Zecher. For everybody you do, you have to put an extra shekel and a half?
You don't have to. For every person, it's a shekel and a half. Don't be cheap, Ken, you can afford it. A shekel and a half for you and a shekel and a half for your wife. Okay, 3 shekel, you can have a listen. So that is the minhag L'machzis HaShekel, and that should be done on Tainus. Next, moving on. On Purim, there are 4 mitzvahs on Purim. Okay, Megillah, which we'll do next week. Shalchmanis, Suda, Matanis, Levyayim. Okay, those are our 4 mitzvahs. The Megillah gets its own bracha. The other 3, Suda, Shalchmanis, Matanis, Levyayim, do not get a bracha. But the Shehiyanu that we make on the Megillah goes on those mitzvahs as well. So when you hear the Shehiyanu in Shul from Megillah by day, you should have in mind that's going on Matanis Levyayim, Shalachmanis, and Suda. We're going to get that soon. So now, here's how Matanis Levyayim works. So we're going to do Matanis Levyayim first, okay? Matanis Levyayim is the day of the Megillah reading, which is Friday this year for everyone. The day of Megillah reading, there's a mitzvah to give to 2 poor people. Now, how much are you going to give? The standard amount, again, you could really be yotzei with any amount. The recommendation is to give a meal equivalent. So if you're cheap, your meal is 2 slices of pizza or falafel. So you give 10, 15 shekel, in America, $3-$4 to 2 different poor people. If you like eating better, like shawarma, so you want to give 25 shekel, 30 shekel. If you like, you know, steak and grilled chicken, so 50 shekel, 60 shekel. Or in America, you'll give $10, $15. The idea is you would want it to be like a meal equivalent. Okay, you wanted to give it to 2 different onion. So you're yotze with any amount. But ideally, you would want to give 2 onion a nice amount, 30 shekel, $10 in that range. Now, if you want to add on, great. Meaning add on, meaning give more or to more people, that's great. And then you could give a meiser money. The first 2 and the minimum amount, you cannot give a meiser money. It's a chiyuv to give. So you cannot use meiser money. After the minimum requirement, you then can give from meiser money. If for some reason there's no anim around, you can put the money into a tzedakah box or designate it, give another time. Or you can make a shliach. Give me a call, give someone a call. Hey, please give $10 on my behalf to an ani. That's also fine. That is a mitzvah of Matanais Lev Yainim.
Even though it's not going to be Bo Bayom?
Even won't be Bo, you're giving it Bo Bayom. Meaning you're designating, you're setting aside on Purim, you are giving the money to Zaka. Of course, ideally, Shmuel, you're right. You want to give it to an ani on Purim for sure. But if it's not available, just put in the pushka, put in a bag, designate it that you're giving it for them. Men should give it for themselves. Women should also give it. So if you're married, you can give it for your wife. If you're not married, ask someone to give it to you or give it to an honey yourself. But all those things are fine. Men and women should both give. So a couple should be giving a total of 4 different aniyim or whatever, 2 different aniyim, but the equivalent of 4 different matanas lev yayin for a couple. Okay, that is the mitzvah of matanas lev yayin. Now, shalach manas. The mitzvah of shalach manas is to be given on the day of the Suda. We're going to get to this year for Yerushalayim, it's a little bit funny, but we'll talk standard or for the Americans, the day of the Suda, the day of Purim. For Americans, it's Friday this year. The way Shach Manas works is you need to give one person 2 food items. Now, it does not need to be 2 separate brachas. It just needs to be 2 food items. You can give them a steak and a chicken. That's beautiful. You can give them a beer and a steak. That's wonderful. But you do want to give something which is kosher. You don't want to give them a little chocolate coin and a little jelly bean. That's not so kosher. That's not so nice. You want to give them something which is, you know, pseudo-like, pseudo-worthy. Now, the minhag is to give like to everyone in the world, and that's fine. You don't need to do that, but at least give one person something real. And then you can give 100 other people a jelly bean and a chocolate coin. That's fine. But at least to one person, you want to give one real chashiv shalach manas. Men and women are both obligated in this as well. And therefore, a couple should be giving 2 people, at least 2 chashiv matanas, shalach manas. Now.
And can a couple be yotzi giving one to their spouse?
No. Good question, Cheapskate. No, you should not do that. But to be fair, Shmuel, what you could do, and the Gemara talks about it, that you have 2 people at the meal and they switch off, they hand it over. Reuven gives to Shimon, and then Shimon gives back to Reuven. That's possible. So what Shmuel is asking is to maybe do the same thing with your wife. I wouldn't do that because there is a side of Ishto Kegufo, in which case you just gave it to your left hand. You didn't really do anything. Right? The same way we would agree, passing from your left hand to your right hand won't do anything. So husband passing to the wife may also be doing nothing. And therefore, I would not do that shtick with your wife. Okay, so that is shalach manas. If there's someone who is an avel for their parents in the first 12 months, you should not send to them shalach manas. Do not send to an avel shalach manas. Okay, that is shalach manas. Now, suda. At night, there's no chiyuv to have a suda. It's a good idea to have a little bit extra by night. But the chiyuv of suda is not by night. The chiyuv of suda is by day. That is when the chiyuv suda is. You should have bread, you should have wine, you should have meat. Those are the 3 requirements: bread, wine, and meat. Preferably meat from a cow. If for some reason you don't want to eat meat from a cow, so you can eat meat, you can eat chicken. But the idea is you want to have a nice kosher suda if you're vegetarian, so you can have salmon. If you're vegan, I guess you can eat whatever you always eat. But the idea is you want to have a nice kosher suda, bread, meat, and wine. There is a very famous halacha, how everyone has had to get drunk, and it should be done in the right fashion. We'll discuss that next week a little bit. But we'll discuss it next week. There is definitely an Indian of getting drunk, but there's also an Indian of being careful and not to hurt people or hurt yourself. At least if you're not getting drunk, drink a little bit more than normal and then go to sleep. And that's a fine minhag. If you normally drink 1 cup of wine, drink a cup and a half or drink 2. And then put your head down for 30 minutes. But that we'll discuss exactly more a little next week. But the concept is by the Suda, right? If you're getting drunk not in the Suda, then you need to go to AA. The idea of getting drunk is only in the Suda. It's part of Suda's Purim. It's not like a day of acting like other people and just walking on the street drunk. The idea of getting drunk is part of Suda's Purim. So when you wash, you have wine, another cup of wine, another cup of wine, another cup of wine. That's fine. But it should be in the context of the Suda. You would want to start your Suda by day, meaning, again, let's say Purim day for the Americans this year is Friday. So we want to start Friday by day. And any other year, let's say Purim is on a Wednesday. So you want to start Wednesday, the Suda. You want to start before Shkia. Some people are machmir to have the bulk of the Suda by day. Some people say it's okay, just start a little bit before Shkia and then it can go into the night. Whichever one is fine, but you definitely want to wash and have some wine by day on Purim. Now, this year specifically, first for the Americans and then for the Israelis. Friday for the American Suda this year is Friday. There's a big machlokas how and when you should have your Suda. The Americans in America, when you should have your Suda. Should you have your Suda in the morning, which means before Chatzais? Let's say Chatzais is 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. So you would want to wash and have your Suda before, start washing before Chatzais or around 12 o'clock. That's what some people hold. Others say that what you could do is wash an hour before Shabbos and continue your meal into Shabbos. And you're going to have one long Purim Shabbos Suda. It's called Puris Mapa, which means you'll wash like an hour before Shabbos. You'll have some wine, you'll have some meat. Then you'll cover over the tablecloth. You'll make Kiddush, you'll make Hamotzi. Let me preface that. You'll make Kiddush without saying Hagafen because you already made Hagafen. And you can have Lechem Mishnah without saying Hamotzi because you already said Hamotzi. But for Shabbat, you're going to make Kiddush with a cup of wine without Hagafen and just drink it. And you're going to bring out Lechem Mishnah without saying Hamotzi because you already washed. That's one version of having the Suda. So two choices. Either have it before Chatzais or have it an hour before Shabbos going into Shabbos with covering over the food, making Kiddush, Lechem Mishnah, and continuing. Those are two choices. Now, sometimes it doesn't work out like that and it's 2 o'clock and you want to have your Suda. It's okay. Not ideal, but it is okay. As far as davening, you'll daven whenever you're sober enough to daven, you'll daven. Kabbalah Shabbos and Magen. Earlier the better, but you have to be sober in order to daven. Okay, so that is the Suda for the Americans. We're going to get to the Israelis in a minute. In general, back to every year, the Suda of Purim, you should have Big Day Shabbos. You should come either in costume or Big Day Shabbos. It should be nice. Women are chayv in Suda as well. There's a minhag to have kreplach. Kreplach are meat covered over by dough. There's a minhag, afi kabbalah, different minhagim, different reasons behind it, but there's definitely a minhag to have kreplach at your Shabbos, at your Purim Suda. Okay, that is Suda's Purim on a general year. And then one more thing before we get to this year's unique case for the Israelis is on davening on Purim, you're supposed to say Al HaNisim in benching and davening on the day of Purim, which there's one day of Purim. On that day of Purim, you're supposed to say Al HaNisim, Al HaSam. You're supposed to say Al HaNisim on in davening, Mariv, Mincha, Shacharis, supposed to say Al HaNisim, and in benching, you're supposed to say Al HaNisim as well. If you forget to say Al HaNisim, you do not go back and repeat. It's not Ma'akev, but you should definitely say it. If you said on the wrong day, let's say in America, you're supposed to say on Yudalit. Let's say you said on Tezvav, you shouldn't have, but it's not Ma'akev, you don't repeat. And the Israelis are supposed to say on Tezvav, if they say on Yudalit, it's also not Ma'akev. You shouldn't be doing it, but if you mess up Al Nisim in either direction, saying it when you shouldn't have said it, or not saying it when you should have said it, you don't repeat, and you are Yotzei. In general, you should not be working on Purim. No work I'm not gonna say it's usher, but definitely something to be avoided. You will not be seeing major bracha from work that's done on Purim, and therefore it should be avoided. Okay. So like this. So that is those are the general rules. Okay, so what we've discussed so far today is Parshas Zachar, Tainus Esther, Machzis Shekel, Matanas Ev Yainim, Shalach Manis, Suda, the davening, and working on Chol HaMoed. Now, next week we're going to do Megillah and Hashkafa behind it. Now, one last thing I want to add, which is unique for this year and only for the Israelis. So, Rich, you can tune out for the next 2 minutes. Something is called Purim Mishulash, but it's interesting. So maybe you'll make Aliyah. You'll be here next time with Purim Mishulash. The way it works is when Purim falls out, and when I say Israelis, I mean Yerushalayim. I don't mean all of Israel. Beit Shemesh doesn't have this issue. So in Yerushalayim, we have Purim on Tezvah, the 15th, not the 14th. This year, the 15th falls out on Shabbos. We do not read the Megillah on Shabbos. So what happens this year is a very unique situation. It's called Purim Mishulash. It's happening this year in Tavshin Pei Aleph, 2021. What's happening is here's the way it goes. We will be hearing, Yerushalayim people will be hearing Megillah on Friday with all of the rest of the world. It only happens this year with the Israelis and the Americans. We'll be hearing Megillah and Yerushalayim will be hearing Megillah at the same time, which is Thursday night and then Friday morning. That we'll all be hearing Megillah at the same time. We will all be doing Matanas Lev Yoinim on Friday. Matanas Lev Yoinim should be done on the day of the Megillah reading, and therefore it is Friday for Matanas Lev Yoinim. However, the Suda and Shalach Manas is pushed off onto Sunday. So Sunday is when we'll be doing Shalach Manas and having the Suda. However, there are people that are Machmid and Machmir to have a Suda and Shalach Manas on Friday and to have Suda and Shalach Manas on Shabbos. It's a super duper chumrah, not obligatory at all, and don't make a big deal about it. The big deal is Sunday. Sunday is a Chiyuv Suda and Shalach Manas. If you want to do Shalach Manas and Suda on Friday and Sunday and Shabbos as well, that's fine, but keep it quiet. Get pass off one Shalach Manas to your friend and have a little bit of wine and meat and bread on Shabbos and on Friday, and you're good. But don't get carried away and don't make a big spiel. Okay, that is Purim Mishulish. Al Hanisim should be said on Shabbos. Shabbos. That's when we say Al Hanisim, because that is Tesvav, that is the Purim. Okay, so therefore we will be saying Al Hanisim on Shabbos. We do not say Al Hanisim on Friday. We do not say Al Hanisim on Sunday. We do not say Tachanun all these days. Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, no Tachanun. And Israel, the Yerushalayim, will not be having Kriyas HaTorah on Friday because not our Purim. So the Americans or the Beit Shemesh, the Bnei Brak people will be saying Kriyas HaTorah on Friday and Megillah. The Yerushalayim people will only be having Megillah and not Kriyas HaTorah. Now on Shabbos, there's no Megillah, but it's a good idea to talk about the Megillah because it's Shabbos and it really is Purim. It's a good idea to be talking about the Megillah, different in Yanim of Purim. And the last thing is Shehiyanu. We said earlier, the Shehiyanu that you make by Megillah goes on Matanas Lev Yoinim, Suda, and Shalach Manas. The problem is, we're not doing the Suda Shalach Manas until Sunday. So some say just have it in mind, maybe it works. Others say get a fruit, a special fruit that you haven't had yet, and make the Bracha Shehiyanu on that fruit on Sunday, and have in mind that that Shehiyanu is also going on Shalach Manas and the Suda. Okay, and added Chumrah, perhaps if you could do it, it's good. Okay, that is a wrap on Purim for this week. Next week, we'll do all the halachas of the Megillah and Hashkafa about Purim. We'll end off now with...
Rav.
Yes,
Rav. How can we be Mekayim Masuda after the day if it's after Purim?
Sam, you're asking a very question. Super.
Isn't there an idea that, like, when in fast days, you're supposed to push it off because it's Tsar? But shouldn't, if it's a Suda, we should make it a day earlier,
Yeah, it's 100% right. It's a great question. And for that reason, some are machmir to have the Suda on Thursday, on Friday, because of what you're saying. Others say that no, that Sunday acts is what's called Tashlumin. It's like by on Yontif, when you're supposed to bring a carbon on Yontif, on Pesach, you can't bring the first day, the second day, you have 7 days to bring it. It's like Tashlumin, a makeup to bring it. So I want to compare that over here. The Suda should be on Shabbos. We don't have it on Shabbos. We have a makeup the day after. But it's a very good question, and that's why some of Machmas have it on Friday. But Lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk, have it on Sunday. Okay, here we go. A thought on Bitachon. So we're in Shaar Gimel. We discussed last week how we have Tzadik Viralo, how sometimes big Tzadikim have bad things happen to them. The Chavis of Abbas discusses how can we have Russia V'Toivloi. How can we have sometimes that they're awful, terrible people, and yet they have good things happening to them? What's Pshat of them? How can we understand why the Shem being so kind to the Rishayim? So he gives a few different explanations. One of them is, even Rishayim may have done something good, and therefore Hashem wants to pay them back in this world, and so that they will suffer in the next world because they're Russia, but they'll get something good in this world because of the good deeds that they have done. Another answer he says is, perhaps their father did something good, and this is like payback for the father's good deed. Or perhaps they will have a son who will be doing good, and therefore he wants to give this person money so that his son who is doing good will get the money. Or maybe this Russian will be doing tshuva himself. We don't really know. So what he looks as a Russia to us, and he may be a Russia, but Hashem is giving him money either because of the father, because of the son, or because himself may be doing tshuva very soon. Now, another point he says is, it could be it's a lesson, it's a test for the tzaddikim. And here's the way this goes. If I see a Russia and all good things are happening to him, I may start doubting, hey, why am I so God-fearing? Why am I doing the right thing? Look at him. He drives on Shabbos and he eats straight, and Hashem's giving all the bracha. It's a test for me. Will I give in? Will I say, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to do what's right because it's right, and I'm not going to give in to this to this test. And I'm not going to like go after his ways just because he's getting rich because of it. Just because he steals and he cheats, I'm not going to do that. So the test, it could be Hashem giving good to the Rishayim to test the Tzaddikim. Okay, a thought on davening. one last thought on Shmon Esrei, and we'll move on to something else. The seventh bracha in Shmon Esrei is Goel Yisrael, referring to the Geula, redemption. The Gemara says it's the seventh bracha. If you count Shmon Esrei, it's the seventh bracha. And the Gemara says, because the Geula will come in the seventh year, meaning the Shemitah cycle, Geula will come in the seventh year in the Shemitah year. The Gemara asks, hey, but that's not true. We have another Gemara that says, Mashiach will come right after the seventh year, the beginning of the eighth year. So Gemara says an eye-opening thought, which is, in the seventh year will be the war before the Geula. And the Gemara uses a lashon that the war is the tchila of the Geula. The war is the start of the Geula. So the seventh year is a war year, but it's the start of the Geula. And therefore, the seventh bracha is Goel Yisrael because the war is the start of the Geula, which is something which is the thing about in davening, two thoughts. First of all, when we're davening Goel Yisrael, we're davening Hashem to redeem us, but realize that may come with war. That may be part of what redemption means. And that's the seventh year. And then on a personal note, we all have our own wars. But to realize whatever struggles and wars we're going through, that's the tequila of the Geula. You don't get to the next level without your war, without your personal struggle. So perhaps when we're dying for the Geula, we're dying for the world's Geula, Hashem to bring a Shiach. We're also, every one of us needs something better, whatever struggle it is with children, with Shalom Bayis, with Parnassah, with health, whatever the struggles are our personal struggles, and it's a war. But to realize the war itself is the beginning of the Geula. We'll end off a thought on Parsha. Very good. Sam is right. And Al Nisim, with Dan Yashem the war. That we'll talk about next week. And Al Nisim. Very good, Sam. All right. Now, the last thing is on this week's Parsha, Parsha's Truma. Two quick thoughts on Parsha's Truma. One of them is the Aron had the poles. And the Levium carried the Aron. But the Gemara says that really the Aron carried the carriers. So like, what's going on over here? Why did Hashem make it that there'd be poles that will carry the Aron, which within truth, the Aron is really carrying the people that were carrying it. So I heard a great idea, which is the Aron had the Sefer Torah inside. So the Aron represents Torah. People think when they send money into a yeshiva, into a kailo, they support people, they are supporting the Torah. But in truth, they're getting so much back for that, that when you support Torah, the Torah is really supporting you. You're getting bracha in your life. I know a person who's been giving so much money to tzedakah, and he keeps making more and more and more and more money. He understands that the fact that he's supporting the Torah is really supporting him. His whole life has changed, not because of riches. He's also become a ben Torah. He's also become more connected to the Torah. So by you carrying the Torah is really carrying you. And it's important to look at it like that. The more connected you are to Torah and those who learn Torah, the more you're being carried by them. And that was a thought over here by the Aron. Last thought is, in the Mishkan, right, we're now starting the parshas of the Mishkan. We have so many intricate details, gold and the silver and the embroidery. There's so much going on. Who was doing all this work? A bunch of Jewish slaves. We were in Mitzrayim. Their whole lives, they were in Mitzrayim. And what were they doing in Mitzrayim? Building bricks with mortar. How all of a sudden are they now embroidering and doing craftsmanship with silver and gold? The Ramban says it's a pella. It's a wonderment. But the idea is, if a person is committed to doing something, because Hashem said, do this. you're committed to doing it, Hashem will give you the ability to do it. You didn't know you were a weaver and a craftsman. You didn't know that. But Hashem to do this. You're going to start. You're going to see Hashem going to give you the kayak. Hashem gave credit to Bezalel and to all the workers over here to do the unimaginable. How could it be? But Hashem gave them the kayak. They dedicated themselves to do it. Hashem gave them the ability to do it. And that's a lesson we can learn as we go through these hard parshias. When you dedicate yourself to Hashem, he'll give you the kayak to do whatever you need to do. Have a good night. Have a good week. We're about to get cut off. Next week, second part of Purim.